So as you can see, Pastor Sean is not here today. That's why the Buffalo Bills are God's team. So when Pastor Sean first asked me to share a word with the church, immediately I thought, I am not shaving my head. For those who don't know, Pastor Sean is bald. By choice, I think. Actually, Pastor Sean and their family, Renee, the family, they are at Cooperstown for a family vacation. When I spoke with Pastor Sean and asked him, and he asked me to share, immediately I thought to myself, I only have a month to prepare. And man, let me tell you, just I got to give a shout out to Pastor Sean because I'm thinking I've got a month to prepare. This guy does this every week. You'll see him up here. He has a Bible. Maybe he has a sticky note. I have like 8 pages of notes. Amazing. But yeah, just a shout out to him. His preparation is unbelievable. He's so diligent, so dedicated to the word, to praying, to devoting himself to Jesus. So just a shout out to him and what he means to this church. They are truly missed today. But you know, I'm praying that they have a great time while they're away. So he asked me to share, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, he's going to be away. At least I'll have Brendan, our worship leader. Nope, no Brendan. Teresa would be here. Nope, no Teresa. They're away as well. So I thought, well, at least I'll have Matt. Matt will do the announcements. Nope, no Matt. But man, I love the fact that when key people are away like that, other people step up and do an awesome job. I mean, the worship team was great today. Amen. Yeah. Nice. Just thankful for them, thankful for John and his service as well, and you know, his crew that he brought up as well. So actually, when he asked me to speak today, I was pretty excited, a little bit anxious, not really nervous, but anxious. But you know what they say when you're in front of a large group of people, what you're supposed to do, right? Like, what do they say? Picture them in their underwear? Come on, this is church, people. You're not supposed to picture people in their underwear. I was thinking, like, be confident in yourself. Wow. You can laugh. It's okay. So Pastor Sean is in this series of Living Simple, and he's heading into the second portion of that, which is a simple church. Gang, church is not supposed to be difficult. You know, you think about it. We are a worship and word church that simply loves and cares about people. There's nothing difficult about that at all. The last few times that I've shared during their offering, and even today, you know, I talked about the impact that Believers Chapel could have on this community if we all did our part. So this message kind of translates from simple living to simple church, and it's called doing your part. So think about what that means in relation to a simple church and simple living. The concept here is that many hands make light work. I'm sure you've all heard that before. But listen to this. A simple church means there are many doing less with a desire to do more. Think about that. Many doing less with a desire to do more, as opposed to a few doing much, wanting to do less. You know, when there's a church that has few doing a lot, they get burned out. We want a church that has many doing a little bit that wants to just keep adding and adding and adding to their plate, wanting to do more with a desire to do more. So as a church, we need to sow into our community and share the good news that we ourselves heard in the past. So as I get into this, I truly just pray that it sets on your heart and rests on your heart and you kind of grab a hold of what the message is here today. So we're going to be in two places today, Ephesians 4 and Romans 12. So let's open up in prayer. Father, God, you are so good to us, Lord. God, you knew exactly that this time and this place, Lord, I would be here today to share this message with this church, Lord. You knew it long before today. And I am truly blessed and truly honored, Lord, and I take it very serious that I'm up here today, Lord. So I do pray that you just bless our time. I pray that you'd open eyes and ears, Lord, to hear from you today. And that, God, we would truly grab a hold of this message, and we would really have a desire to do our part. So I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Ephesians 4, if you can turn there. So this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore, which means to beg, to plead, to call for, to pray for earnestly. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Church, if you're sitting here right now You've been called. In one way or another, you have been called. God wants to use you. He doesn't want to just have you sitting in and taking up a seat. He wants to use you. You know, if you believe this word to be true, then you are a disciple of Christ. A disciple is just someone that follows and inherent to the teachings of another. So we're adhering to what this word says. And therefore, we are believers and disciples of Christ. Matthew 28:19, Jesus commissions his disciples and says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Church, this is what the big picture of what our work looks like. Jesus tells his disciples to go make disciples. Think about that. That's our work. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Go make disciples. If we're a follower of Christ, if we're a disciple of Christ, we are supposed to go make disciples. Jesus tells his disciples to go make disciples. Therefore, if we are a disciple, then we are supposed to follow that same direction. In John 14:12, Jesus says, "He who believes in me," that's the church, you know, again, if we're a disciple and we're believing what this word says, we believe in him. So this is a word for the church. He says, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father." So when Jesus was taken up into heaven, he left us with a task. The works that he did were limited. Think about this. He was confined to a certain area, right? So, man, when we start to believe in Christ and who he is and we share that message, that's the greater works that we can do. He was only confined to that certain area. He could only reach so many people, but we can reach a world. Amen? So we, the church, as disciples of Christ, have the ability to reach far more people than Jesus did. We are to do the works that he himself did. And when you think about it, if you're on God's team or if you're on any team, you want to support that person, right? Or you want to support that team. And that's what we're doing. God wants us to support his team. So back to Ephesians 4. Again, he says, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to do what? To walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." So worthy of who? The one who has called us, Christ. It doesn't say of which you might be called. It says of the calling with which you have been called. So church, understand that people are watching us. You know, how you present yourself, how you carry yourself, how you walk. People see that. People are watching. As a believer, how is your walk? At home? Maybe in the store? At work? At school? People are watching. A couple of weeks ago, Sean stated that our conduct and our behavior matters. It does. People are watching us. It matters. My amazing wife, Lori, always says this. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. I'm not going to repeat that because I'll probably mess it up. But again, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So how do we do that? Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So be humble, be gentle, be patient, be tolerant in love, be diligent to stay united in the Spirit, bound together. Bound together, that togetherness, that unity is key. So gang, this is a letter where, among many, where Paul writes to the church. And this is a common theme among these letters. So you got to see this. If you really look at this and break it down, he's pleading with them to understand the importance of their walk. "I implore you," he's asking, he's begging them, "know the importance of your walk. It really does matter." So what would it look like if the church really grabbed a hold of this? You know, can you imagine a humble, patient, tolerant, peaceful, united church? I mean, think about the impact that we could have on a community if they see that in us. So listen, point number one is this. As followers of Christ, we need to live Christ's message. And not just to the people here. We all know that we're believers, right? We need to live that message outside to the community, to everyone that we come in contact with. So God chose you and I to represent him. Think about that. The creator of all, the one true living God, He chose us to represent him. That's amazing to me. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he wants me to represent him. He wants you to represent him. Man, that kind of fires me up. I don't know about you. Verse number 4 says this, "There's one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Verse number 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." So let's look at this. What were the gifts that he gave? If you jump down to verse 11, it says this, "He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers." That's the fivefold ministry. So watch this, church. This is huge. If you get anything out of this message, this is it. If you remember any verse, remember this one. So again, he gave them, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. That's us. That's the church. For the equipping of the saints. So he gave those five to equip all of us to do the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. You got to understand this, church. It's not just those mentioned in verse 11, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's not just them that are the ministry. It's their job to equip us to do the ministry, the work of service. So you got to ask yourself, church, what am I doing to benefit the church? What are you doing? Have you thought about that at all? What is your purpose, and am I contributing? So have you ever watched a rowing team? I'm sure some of you have watched the Olympics before and seen a rowing team. There's a couple of different styles of it, but we're going to look at what an 8-man rowing team looks like. So there's anywhere from 2 to 8 rowers usually. The 8-man team, there's a coxswain. I don't know if they got the slide there. Slipping. There we go. So look at this. You have a coxswain at the back of the boat. You have a stern pair, and you have a bow pair, and then you have a middle crew. So the role of the coxswain is to steer the boat, to provide motivation and encouragement to the crew, inform the crew of where they are in relation to other crews and the finish line, and make all necessary tactic calls. And man, when I'm looking at this, I think that sounds a lot like a pastor to me. I got a video here I want to show. And this video is a coxswain, and he's calling out to his crew, and he's giving them direction and motivation.
"Fly through, quick, lengthen, and full let's build. 1 stand, 2 stand, 3 sharp, 4 46, 5 very good, 6 very good, 1 make our school proud, boys. 2 jump, 3 yeah, we're moving away. 4 bound, I'm on bow deck. 5 on bow ball. 6. 7 together, 8 together, 9 long releases, 10. All right, boys, 5 for releases, and I'm on bow ball again. Ready? 5, release, 4, release, 3, release, 2, release, and 1, boys, last 350. This is our last 350.
Go!
Breathe. I want this right here. 36. Good, and I'm on open, but we're not on open yet. Let's go. We're going to beat Navy by open today, boys. Breathe. You got to believe. Let's believe, boys. Last 250 in 2. We're going to go sprint in 2. 1 first shift through the water. Together. Now. Shift there. Shift there. Legs send. Last 10. Blackout 10 in 2. 1, 2. Blackout. Now. Now. Jump. That's a 40. Jump. Go get it. Jump. Together. Legs send. Almost there, boys. Let's go. 7 in the line. 7 in the line. Now. 6, open water, 5, 4, 3, 2, and paddle, yeah! And let it run, boys. Check.
That though. And you watch their oars all in unison, you know, it makes a difference, right? But very cool. The role of a pastor, I love it. And I think that coxswain calling out to and directing his crew is very similar to what a pastor should be doing. Love that motivation. I love it because he's challenging them. You know, I watched many videos to try to come up with a video for this, and this one was awesome. I love that he says to them, "You got to believe in what you're doing." You know, he's like, "Do it for the school. You got to believe in what you're doing." It was awesome. So, but the stern and the bow pair we're going to look at next. They have a little more responsibility than some of the others in the boat. So the stern pairs are numbers 8 and 7 in the boat, sitting at right next to the coxswain. Number 8 rower sits immediately next to the coxswain and is called the stroke. They have a huge responsibility to keep the rate of the team. They're usually the best, most technical rower. Number 7 has a similar responsibility because number 8's oar is on one side, while number 7 is on the other. So when you think about this, rowers 2, 4, and 6, they're pretty much watching number 8's oar. And then rowers 1, 3, and 5, they're watching number 7's oar, all to keep the same rhythm and pace. I think this sounds a lot like our worship team, like our home group leaders, Kingdom Kids helpers, and breakaway leaders. Then you have the bow pair toward the front of the boat. So rowers 2 and 1 are more responsible for the stability and the direction of the boat, more so than any other pair of rowers, and they are often very technical rowers. I think this sounds a lot like our board, our staff in the church, and our deacons. However, what does it look like, church, if some of the people in the boat are not rowing in the same direction or not doing their part? Think about it. Maybe some of them are rowing a little bit slower, or their timing is off. Maybe they're fishing, I don't know, trying to put on some sunscreen. You know, maybe one side's rowing, the other side's not, so they're just going in a big circle. Think about this, though. What happens when they're all not doing their part? So that brings us to the middle crew. The middle crew are rowers 3 through 6. They do most of the manual work. They're the most powerful rowers in the boat, and they are commonly referred to as the fuel tank, the engine room, or the powerhouse. So think about this now. If the coxswain, the stern pair, the bow pair, if they don't have that middle crew, how are they going to do? The most powerful rowers, if they're not there, they're not going to get far. So I believe the middle crew would represent our church body. You see, everyone has a gift. We mentioned that. Everyone has a gift in this church. But not everyone's called to be a coxswain or called to be a stern pair or a bow pair. The majority of us here are called to be a middle crew. So point number 2, church, is where you fit into this boat. We are one body with many members. Where do you fit into the boat? Are you doing your part? Are you rowing in the same direction as the rest of the crew? Are you following the direction of the coxswain? Are you following the stern pair and their oar? Are you following that, making sure that your timing is right and you're staying on pace? Again, listen to verse number 12. And this is the Amplified version. I just love how it says it. It says, "And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, that is the church." And I tell you, this verse gives purpose to the body. It gives purpose to us as the body. Verses 13 and 14 talk about the church maturing in the knowledge of Christ, no longer like children changing our minds on what we believe, but you're firm on the foundation of biblical doctrine. Verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, we," meaning the church, "are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Christ." So how do we speak the truth? It says here, speak the truth in love, not cramming it down their throat. I'm sure everybody here can probably think of somebody that has said to you at some point in time, "Man, I just can't do church. You know, they're too pushy." And, you know, we don't have to be pushy. We just plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds. So this is saying together we come to know Christ. We stand firm on biblical doctrine against those who would deceive and come to recognize, got to get this now, that we all fit together into the body of Christ, of which he is the head. Pastor Sean had a recent message where he made the statement, "Do I find you praying?" Remember that? I can tell you from our home group, there's a huge impact. "Do I find you praying?" It really made us think about it, like how often we're praying. We could also say here, "Do I find you growing?" So church, we should be growing spiritually every day in the word, on our knees, through daily devotion and worship and praise to our one true God, growing in our faith and knowledge of Christ. So do I find you growing? Verse 16 says this, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint, supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the church and the building up of itself. When each part is working how it's supposed to in the church grows. That's the key here. The proper working of each individual part. I really hope you're understanding this, church, and getting this idea of doing your part and understanding your role in this. Doing our part starts with you. And understand, if you're serving, you're probably growing, okay? You know, Pastor Sean, I was talking to him about this message, and he had mentioned to me about a time in his life when he said he can definitely say it was a defining moment of him growing as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ. And that was when he just said, you know what, I'm going to really get involved in this church that I'm in right now, and I'm going to serve. I'm going to do everything I can to serve this church. And that could have been, you know, changing garbages, cleaning the bathroom, whatever he could do, he did. And he told me that that was definitely a defining moment in his life where he knew I grew a lot in that time. So understand that if you're serving, you are growing. So again, doing your part starts with you and your walk as a follower of Christ. We are all called to do the work of service and to build up the body of Christ. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, arms, legs, eyes, ears, whatever the case may be, but all together, when you put the whole piece together, we're one body. So verses 17 through 19 speak of Gentiles who are unbelievers, walking ignorantly, blindly, and in sin and greediness. And the rest of the chapter speaks of a new quality of life that we gain as followers of Christ. We let go of old ways, and we gain a kindness toward each other, showing compassion and forgiveness. Living simple simply means that you do what's right. So church, as followers of Christ, we should see changes in our life. Are you changing? Ask yourself that question. Do you come here every Sunday? Do you change? Because we should be seeing changes in our life. If this bottle of water is 100% full, which it is, it's not opened yet. If I open that up and I pour some red Kool-Aid in there, what's going to happen? The water that sits on the top is going to spill out. The Kool-Aid's going to go inside. And this is eventually going to be red, right? And that is very similar to what we're looking at here. It's the same idea. When we add Christ into our life, something has to go. Something that was present has to go. Garbage in, garbage out. When you put good in, you get good out. Let's go to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Man, church, think about that. Are you a living sacrifice? Are you acceptable to God? It goes on to say, which is your spiritual service of worship. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Gang, we owe God everything. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Be thankful. Be grateful for what he has done for you. Don't involve yourself with worldly things, but let God transform and renew your mind. Then you will understand God's will, which is perfect in every way. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, Paul tells the church in Corinth that they are a living epistle, that they are a letter known and read by all men, and not written with pen and ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Man, think about that. He tells the church that they are a living epistle. How's your walk? What do people see in you? Paul is saying that it is evident that the Corinthian church is a letter of Christ. So what does your letter say about you? Are you a living letter of Christ? When people read you, do they see Christ in you? So picking up in Romans 12, we're going to go to verse 4. It says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. Again, many members, but we don't all have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us. Again, these are gifts that were given to each one of us. And they're different. Not all of us have the same gift. according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Gang, we all have our part in this piece of called church. We all have our part. We all have an oar, and we all need to be rowing in the same direction. Verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And I love that. Man, when you look at the book of Acts and you see the church the day after Pentecost, they're on fire. Church is growing. People are being added each and every day, thousands of people. And then you look at this and you read through those verses and you see people that are so willing to help each other out, so willing to support each other, and they're living with a purpose. And just want to give a shout out to my home group. Over the last month or so, we've had some things taking place in our home group with just people's sickness and illness and such. And man, I've really seen our home group just step up to the plate and do what we're called to do. Even people outside of our home group, just being involved, just amazing what the church is doing for each other. I love it. And I really want to give our home group credit for that because they've really stepped up and done a great job. But they're living with a purpose. And again, look at what that verse says. Verse number 10. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. I love that. James 1:22 says this. And stay with me here because we're almost done. James 1:22 says this. To prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers only. It goes on to say in verse 25 that a doer of the word will be blessed in what he does. So don't just listen to the message here today or whenever. Don't just read the words in the book. But man, live them out. If you're a hearer only, you're going to forget what was said and you're going to forget what in that message, in it, what was meant for you. So being a doer takes some application. So ask yourself, how can I apply what I've heard and what I've read into my own life? Each and every day, when you are here on Sunday, when you are at a Bible study, whatever the case may be, this speaks to us. Expect it to speak to you and know what it says and act on it. Be a doer that does their part. If you're a doer, you take action. Church, if you want to be blessed, verse 25 tells us to be a doer. So doing your part starts with you. Know that you've been called. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So key. Be a disciple that makes disciples. Find and use your gift that God has given you. Be united in the faith and knowledge of Christ. And be a doer of the word. Church, we are different than this world. We're not better, but we're different because we have Christ inside of us. We have all received a gift of salvation, greatest gift ever. And because of that, God has chosen us to represent him. And you really need to take that serious too. Can you imagine the impact that we could have if we're all rowing in the same direction as opposed to somebody that's going this way? You know, if we're all in the same direction, we're all on target. We will accomplish so much for the kingdom of God. And you've heard Pastor Sean say this many times. Where is our target? Our target is this region. It's not just the people in the church. It's not just Olean. It's not just Allegheny. It's the region. That's our target. Church, you have to make this personal. Are you doing your part? So what if you're rowing this way? Everyone else is rowing the other way. You got to get this, church. You got to get where we're going here. We're not just here because the coffee is great. I mean, the coffee is really good, don't get me wrong, but that's not what it's all about. So are you committed to the fact that Christ has called you as a disciple who makes disciples? Are you called? We are called to serve and to build up the church. That's what verse 12 said. If you truly want to do your part, then you need to live it, you need to breathe it, you need to walk it, and you need to talk it. It's simple living and a simple church. You know, the direction here is simple. Just be involved. Do your part. You can be a hearer of the word, and you can go home after this service living the same life, or you can become a doer who understands that you've been called. Gang, what happens if we are effective for the kingdom of God by doing our part? You're going to see some great things happen in this place and in this community and in this region. And that's what we are called to do. Man, get involved. Know your walk. Know that your walk is right. You gotta start there. It's got to be about you personally. Know that your walk is right. If it's not, it's time to make some changes. If you want to be part of a church body, you got to know what your gift is, and you got to put yourself in here somewhere. Know where you fit in. You know, just like the boat. Know where you fit in. Most of us are called to be a middle crew. And that's okay, because again, without the middle crew, the boat doesn't go very far. So be effective for the kingdom of God and do your part. Amen? Let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for this word. Thank you, God, that you ordained this specific time for this church body to hear this message, Lord. And I just pray that it rests on their hearts, Lord. God, I pray that you would use each and every one of us, Lord, to help us identify what our gift is in this place. And then be involved and use us, Lord. God, we want to see this region one for Christ. That is the key. That is our goal and our target, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would use each and every one here, Lord, to help us to be willing vessels, Lord, that step out and do their part. God, that we are all rowing in the same direction as one church body, functioning as one church body, knowing our role and doing our part, Lord. God, you are so good to us, Lord. This place is just amazing. The amazing people in this church, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would move in our lives and just bless each and everyone that's here as we depart today, Lord. I just pray that you'd move in our life as we go through this week. I pray that this message, Lord, would just sit on people's hearts and they'd really do their part, Lord, as you have called us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.